whoever was reading didn't read enough yesterday. Was that Shlomo there? Okay, Abigail.
No, you're not running with him. Just you sitting opposite him. But where's Shalom? Shalom's not here. I don't know. They were here this morning. Okay, I don't know where they are. Abigail, why don't you want to hold the fort down until he gets here? Yeah, you need a Tosfos. If you could do that Tosfos, I'd be pretty amazed. Mm-hmm. If you could do it with that opening, I'd be pretty amazed. We don't even know what that's like, but in Europe it wasn't that. Granted, very few people actually learn in Europe, but those who did learn, they really learned. They knew. Like, they read things many times and chazer them many times. And so, anyway, so you can reread the question. Makosha the Faber Show. So that was the question, which is according to Rava, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, if you don't say Chanan is not in the equation here, so then the total amount of Isser you have to contend with from the very start is only one Chaticha. It doesn't matter where that Chaticha's Isser is. If it's half in the original Chaticha and half in the Chaticha Aser, or if it's three quarters in one and one quarter in the other, bottom line, when you take those two Chatichas and you put them in one pot, how much total Isser do you have to contend with? The answer is one Chaticha. So what does Rava gain by saying, Afil lo kadam asilko? And now Rava says, but and the reason why it matters for Rav, the reason why you have to have one chaticha or another chaticha is that now the rotev is unable to be mevatel. The rotev is unable to be mevatel chatichos of iser, when after all you don't have chatichos of iser. All you have is a chatichas iser. You may not know exactly where the iser is. You might even have to throw both of those chatichos out. But in terms of how much time you have to be mevatel from those chatichos with the rotev, it's the amount of one chaticha. So How can you say that Chanan is not at work in this Gemara? So now, V'yesh Lomar. So what happened here?
The original Nevela got smaller.
All right. So when you cook the Nevela with the Chatichas Heter initially, the piece got much smaller. It shrank. Now you take both of those pieces and you toss them into a pot. Now, if the nevela had not been no Saint Tom in the chaticha, it had only cooked there but not long enough to be no Saint Tom, and you were to take those two pieces of meat and throw them into the pot. Now, let's assume that the chaticha originally was 10 ounces, and after the cooking process, the chaticha's nevela was now 7 ounces. So if it wasn't no Saint Tom in the chaticha of Heter, how many ounces of Isser would you need in the Rotev to be Mevatel the two Chatichos here? It started out as 10 ounces, it shrank to 7. So if it wasn't no Saint Tom, you'd only need Shishim Kenega, the 7 ounces. But now that you cooked the two pieces of meat together and one shrank, so the assumption is that the shrinkage of the 10 ounces to 7 of the Chatichos Isser, the 3 ounces somehow winds up in the second chaticha.
The second chaticha isn't shrinking now?
It doesn't matter whether it does or doesn't.
Because it's also really...
But no, but it's not Isser, so we don't really care. The bottom line is...
The amount of Isser it's accepting, wouldn't it be less?
Maybe it's losing more. Again, let's say it didn't. I mean, you come with a scenario, either it didn't or we assume that when you cook it together, we're going to assume that the 3 ounces from this went into that and that lost 6 ounces to the world instead of losing just 3, whatever. But let's assume it remained, let's assume it, again, you're not talking about, you're not going to find more total, in other words, if you add these pieces together, it's not like you're going to find that you can measure the 3 ounces and one wound up in the other. But we just assume it might have been maflet up to 3 ounces into that. So if it had not asered the second chaticha with tam, so then we would say that you only need 420 ounces in rotev. But now that it did aser, that it cooked with the other one was no Saint Tom, so you have to assume that you still have a total of 10 ounces of Isser floating in the mix of the two pieces, and therefore you need 600 ounces in the Rotev, and if you have a case in which you had 500 ounces of Rotev to start with, so that's the nafkamina between whether it's no Saint Tom in the first Chaticha, or whether it wasn't no Saint Tom in the first Chaticha. Okay? And that's how Rabbeinu Ephraim can get around the problem. It's pretty sharp, if you ask me. It's hard to believe, but it's sharp. Abigail?
I don't understand why it's no Saint Tom. Let's say...
I'm sorry, but it's...
It's not necessarily no same time, but...
Well, if it's not no same time in the second chaticha, then it's batel.
And once it's batel...
We're not going to say... Sit...
Meaning, I know... Let's say...
One second.
I know when it went from 10 to 7, that the other three are in the other chaticha. If it went from 10 to 9, why don't I say that the other one is in the other chaticha?
Well, that also is a shiur of no same time, but you're saying if it...
Well, let's say the second piece was... Whatever the size is, that it's not enough. You know,
so for right now, I'm just going to say it's betela and it's not coming back. You can ask me a kasha on chaser v'neora, which I would want to dismiss, except for this is a case. Well, it's actually mimimino, so it's a chaser v'neora is any less of a problem there. By mimimishino mino, chaser v'neora is a little bit trickier. Okay, so yeah, I'll just say yes. Once it's batel and there's no tam, so that whatever was lost into the second chaticha is not usher anymore. All you're left with is the volume of the first chaticha. But if it's no same tam in the second chaticha, so even though it's not nasis nevela, you're going to count a sum total of the 10 ounces you had originally, and therefore you will say that you need 600 ounces in the rotev. And in a case where you don't no longer have the shishim, but you would have had shishim keneged the shrunken piece of nevela, that's where Rav's case matters. Okay, now. Then Tosus has what looks like almost a throwaway line, and he says, "I say avalonas na batam."
Avalonas na batam. Hitzar shishim ala kenegin majin nishar dinavela yeshir berutev
levatla. In other words, but if it wasn't no same time in the chatichas heter, then you only need shishim kenegin the nevela itself, what's left of the nevela. And that you do have in the rotev. Now here comes the throwaway line. The Rav. Okay. Now, what is Tosus saying here? What's Tosus's question? What is the question in this line in Tosus that he's answering? Alec?
Why do you need the intermediate step?
Why do you need the intermediate step? And let me ask you, now, and the answer is, what's the answer to the question? You didn't. You really didn't need the intermediate step. But Derech Agav, okay, he wants to teach us that Dafka Nasna Batan. If it wasn't no same time, then you'd have what I said to Avigil. In other words, if the 10 ounces, let's say the shear of Tom was a ninth. So if the Vela lost 1 ounce into the Chaticha Seter, and it wasn't no, oh, well let's, right, let's say it wasn't no same time in the Chaticha Seter, so then you would only need Shishim Keneged, the current Chaticha Vela, the one that is shrunk. So to teach us the distinction between these two cases, when it is no same time, when it's not no same time, that's why he gave the intermediate step. Now let me ask you a question. Is this question of Tosfos limited to Rabbeinu Ephraim, or it's applicable to Rabbeinu Tam as well? Yehuda? Yeah.
Because the whole question is just, I still don't. How can you be discussing that things are not in the veil in a case of Nino Mino? Rabbeinu Tam says the whole case is where you have A transferred to B and then B goes into the pot. But isn't that essentially the same as the Isser going into the pot itself and then it's buffalo or it's not buffalo? Meaning, why do you. What is.
That's the question, exactly.
Right. So
okay, then why does Tosus present the comment here? It's not explicit that it depends upon the Rabbeinu Ephraim. However, most of the Achronim did read it that way, just based upon the sequence in Tosfos. It's sometimes not easy to tell. When Tosus makes the point explicitly, then it's obvious. But in this case, the only thing that raises the possibility is the placement. Now, here is what I said yesterday. I made an observation, and Tosfos doesn't spell this logic out, but I made an observation as to why the intermediate step might be necessary. I gave a good answer. It was a response to a question that was asked to me by Chaim during Seder. And it was a point we made in Shir yesterday that Rashi, when he highlights Rav's question, the question with Rav, he limits it dafka to the case of Nevela, not to the case of Dag Tameh. And what I observed is that when it comes to the case of Dag Tameh, of course you need two steps. Why do you need two steps by a Dag Tameh? Because you need to create Mem Amino, and the only way to do that is... Ah, but how are we getting it to be a Tarovis and Min Bimino to be Usser? Through what agency? Yeah, but that's not enough. So what? The Dag Tameh is inside the Chaticha of Basar, and that Chaticha falls into the pot. So what's Usser in the pot? The flavor of the Dag Tameh, that's Min B'Shein Amino. What have you accomplished by the intermediate step? So what was essential in that intermediate step? Hanan. Hanan was absolutely essential in that intermediate step. In other words, Dag Tameh turns Basar Heter into Basar Isser. And now when Basar Isser falls into the pot, that's Min Bimino. Without Hanan, just because you can't eat the piece of meat that the Dag Tameh flavored, doesn't mean that it's a Tarovis and Min Bimino. It's still a Tarovis. If you don't say Hanan, then when you have a piece of meat that was flavored by Dag Tameh, and that falls into a pot of other pieces of meat, that's min b'shein omino, because it's not that the meat is usser. It's the flavor of the Dag Tameh that you have to be mevatel, regardless of what the status of that piece of meat will be at the end of the day. Whether it will remain la'olam b'isura, or whether or not it will become mutter, because the isser Dag Tameh will come out of it and be nishad and be batel. Either way, there's no busser shel isser fundamentally. It's Dag Tameh. It's Dag shel isser. And therefore, the only way to get Dag Tameh to be a problem, according to Rav, to disagree with Rav Bar Chana, is by positing an intermediate step with the use of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. But, yeah. Hold on. But, for Rabbeinu Ephraim, let me step back 1 second. For Tosfos, if you assume that Hanan is at work in the sugya, even though Tosfos is focused on the second case for now, we understand why Rabbeinu Tam would say Rav needed to give two steps. Because for the case of Chatichas Dag Tameh, you needed two steps. The kasha from Safra to Abaye was in the case of Chatichas Nevela, why in effect do you need this intermediate Chaticha? The first Chaticha could do the job. So ultimately, for Rabbeinu Tam, since Rav Bar Chana was talking about two cases, and on the presumption Rabbeinu Tam does hold, that Rav was arguing in both cases. You see, we said yesterday, for Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rav only argues on the Chatichas Nevela case. He doesn't argue on the Chatichas Dag Tameh case. He can't argue in the Chatichas Dag Tameh case, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. Why? Because there's no Hanan, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, period. For Rabbeinu Tam, there is Hanan, and the way to get that in the Dag Tameh case is by introducing an intermediate step. So fundamentally, at the end of the day, for Rabbeinu Tam, I understand why Rav had to use an intermediate step. Hitaka didn't need it for the Nevela case, but he needed it for the Dag Tameh case. And therefore, you can't ask Akasha. But once Rabbeinu Ephraim comes along and says, there's no Hanan happening at all here in the Sugya, so then why do you need an intermediate step? It doesn't help you in either case. In other words, because for Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rav's not arguing on Dag Tameh. He's moda on Dag Tameh. He's only arguing on Nevela. So when Rav formulated his case, he should have formulated a case that would have covered this gamut of Nevela. For Rabbeinu Tam, he can and will give a case that can cover the gamut of Nevela and Dag Tameh. For Rabbeinu Ephraim, it's only on Nevela. And therefore, in the case of Nevela, you don't need two steps. You can learn things from the way he formulates two steps, but it's totally unnecessary. And that's why Tosfos asked the Kasha Dafkan Rabbeinu Ephraim, or probably Dafkan Rabbeinu Ephraim, when he says that the Rav the Asa Lefaluge Ad the Rav Barchana, and namely he's only arguing Chatichas Nevela, Lo Hayatzarach Rav Lomer El Chatichas Shal Nevela Oseres Kol Chatichas Meim Sheimina. He really only needed to say that. In Hanami, you're right. According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the two steps were fundamentally unnecessary. Because, as I say, on Dag Tameh, he doesn't argue. And on Chaticha Shel Nevela, it's already Min Bimino. You don't need an intermediate step to create a Tarovis of Min Bimino. The Nevela is the Min of the Basar in the pot. Ela agav urche yashmeina the dafka nasna b'tam nevela av nasna b'tam tela tam nevela lo. To explain this chiluk, you know, when you say that the second chaticha, for the, what he just answered, Rabbeinu Ephraim, when you say that we go basar the original volume of the nevela versus when we go basar the current volume of the nevela. Okay, or if within Abaye, if you want to know the chiluk between no saint tam and not no saint tam is when do you have mamashar shel isser in the new pot and when do you only have a kosher who which doesn't count? It's not be'en anymore. When do you have it be'en? When do you not have it be'en? Jeremy?
Once you're not dealing with Hanan, then the second step is superfluous even for Doug Cohen.
No, once you're not dealing with Hanan, he doesn't argue on Doug Tame, not that it's superfluous. Rav agrees on the Doug Tame case. He's only arguing on Nevela. That's my point. For Rabbeinu Ephraim, Bal Karcha, he can't argue on the Doug Tame case. How do you ever have a Tarovis Menremino here? Because if you say Hanan, the Doug Tame can turn something else of a different min into Nevela, if it flavors it. But if you don't say Hanan, he cannot argue on the Dag Tame case. It's still min Mishenu Mino, even if unless you start to construct it. But I posture said that's why the Rishonim said, that's why Rashi said when Rav Safra asked the question to Abaye, Afilo Nasna Tam, it was that if you read like Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, the Kashi was Dafka on Nevela. We knew why the Doug Tame falling into the pot on its own without asering a chaticha first, why Rav didn't, that wasn't able to aser the pot. Because the Doug Tame falling into a pot of Basar or Dag Tar is Min B'Sheinu Mino. We understand why the Doug Tame first has to aser a chaticha shel iser for Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. A chatichas Basar of Heter. We know why you need that intermediate step. We know why the Doug Tame on its own, if it wasn't no Saint Tam in a one chaticha first, we know why that doesn't aser the rest of the pot. But chaticha shel nevela, it should answer the rest of the pot even on its own. That was the question that Rav Safra asked. That was the question he asked. So therefore, it's clear for Rabbeinu Ephraim, there's no argument on Dag Tame. So the only case Rav is arguing on is chaticha shel nevela, and if that's the only case he's arguing on, there's absolutely no fundamental need to formulate an intermediate step. Because chaticha shel nevela really could have answered the entire pot. Whereas chaticha shel dag, and we're not talking about chaticha shel dag tame.
You can't have a case where now a piece of meat that's been flavored by Dag Tame is going to be oser another piece of meat due to the
correct because the iser that's it's not because the meat is not oser, it's the Dag Tame that's oser in it because
right.
You don't say Hanan and therefore it's always going to be min b'sheinu mino by definition. Only if you say Hanan can you get a min b'mino case out of the Dag Tame. Okay. Fine. Now we go on to the rayas. Some of this is going to get very interesting. The milchamos is particularly interesting. So let's start. Let's begin. Go ahead. So we don't say that. So here he says you have a pot of you have a basket of meat and a piece of chela is the case on tzadiches and a piece of chela falls on one slice and we don't say that the slice first is nesa or yidei the chela and that slice answers the entire pot. We don't say that. Rather, what do we say? Ela misharin. And what do you see? You don't say chaticha nasas nevela by chelav. Okay, and that presumably is representative of shari surim. So Tosa says nothing doing. So firstly, it's really a pot of meat, and therefore what? How does that answer the question? Because it's rotev. So the rotev is molech the chelav everywhere, so of course you mishari with the entire pot. As everybody agrees that when you have the iser fall in, let's take for Rabbeinu Tam, for example, the Dag Tame can make meat into nevela. It can make a chaticha nasas nevela, but that's only if the Dag Tame actually flavors one piece of meat separately. If you put the Dag Tame into a pot with liquid, and you either stir it up, or for Tosis, you don't have to stir it up, as long as parts of all the chatichas are partially submerged, at least in the liquid. The rotev is molech the tam throughout the pot, and when you want me mishar, no, same time you use the entire pot. So that would be a so according to so he says that if a dekula is a kalachas, then it's not a raya, because the fact that it doesn't asur the pot is because the chaylev never asured one chaticha in the first place to make it into nevela. Then he says in addition. Stop for a moment. So Tosha says, look, and it is hard to a little bit hard to understand Rabbeinu Ephraim's raya. It'd be interesting to try to talk about in a moment what Rabbeinu Ephraim actually think happened. But Tosha says, not of shach. If when the chela falls onto that chaticha, it's in such a way that tam cannot transfer between the different chatichas. So then the reason why the rest of the pot is mutter is because the flavor never transferred to the rest of the pot. And if you want to say that the chelev that falls in is capable of being mefapea throughout the entire pot, well, that's like falling into a pot that has rotev in it. Even if there's no rotev specifically in this case, it's like there's rotev. What rotev gives all isurim the ability to travel. So chelev may have that ability all on its own. That's the din on daf that we saw early in the year, on daf tzadi zayin, on tzadi vavam beis already, that chelev is mefapea. Chelev is the ability, without being cooked in a rotev, to, you know, fat sort of transfers throughout. Okay? Yes?
When it says stam of the Tosfos stocking, it's the Rabbeinu Tam side, correct?
Yes.
Meaning, so this is another caveat of Rabbeinu Tam holding Hanan, which is only when the Tam is actually going to spread throughout the entire.
Well, that's a Davar Pashut, and the Gemara said that Beferish on Kuchesam Amid Beis, when they said, Rebbe said, Nirin Div Rebbe Yehuda, Kishalonir Velokisa. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? In other words, that chaticha is asur, but it never flavors anything else. So of course, you know, how could you say that Rabbi Yud is correct? Which is why he has to say that lonir means not initially, but only later to stir it up. So that's a davar pashut. The real question here would be, what is Rabbeinu Ephraim holding? Is why did he think this was a raya? Minos Tosas min manoshach is a good manoshach. Either it spreads, in which case it spreads, I mean, you know, it spreads continuously, or it's not going to spread. Now, so presumably, you have to say for Rabbeinu Ephraim, his assumption is that even though it spreads, initially it flavors that one chaticha, and only later does it spread. And Tosa's argument is that if it's going to spread later, and continuously, consistently, we never say the first one is nasis nevela. We saw this earlier. Does anyone remember where we saw this in Tosa's? This was this idea, I mean, it was an exception to the rule. Where even though something is eventually going to spread out, we're more machmir on the piece that it flavors initially. Kachal. There was that line floating in Tosos that seemingly, because the chalav originally, maybe that's what it said, originally was no Saint Tom in the kachal, but then it spreads out to the rest of the pot, they were more machmir on the kachal. But that's the exception. Right? The assumption is that, you know, the way, let's say, Tosos works, and again, maybe some would disagree, but if you have a chaticha of basar, and you put a drop of milk on it, if that basar is in the liquid, we don't look at only that chaticha in order to decide whether it's a mevatel the tam l'chalav. We use the entire pot. Why? Because the chalav is going to diffuse throughout the entire pot. So what does Rabbeinu Ephraim hold? Does he maybe hold that initially it flavors one thing, and then it diffuses? And he feels that if you were to say that initially flavors one thing and chaticha nasis nevela, the subsequent diffusion wouldn't help you. The only way, what Rabbeinu Ephraim mean to say that if you hold chanan, literally the only way to be use the entire pot to be mevatel is if you stir it up immediately, so it really never does flavor any one thing. Maybe that's what he holds, Jeremy.
Unless Tosfos is assuming that if you say that chelev is mevatel, right, that there is enough rotev and chaticha to be mevatel the chelev. Maybe
Rabbeinu Ephraim
was saying, no, I wouldn't assume that. There wouldn't be enough.
There wouldn't be rotev. No, not rotev. Chaticha shabasa. There's no rotev here. Because if it's a basket, it means the blood drains out the bottom.
No, but I was thinking, is it also the Rebbeinu Ochran was seen, was understood the Tosfos, understood the Kula as a pot also and not as a basket?
Well, Tosfos does not understand Rebbeinu Ephraim reading the Gemara that way. And if he saw it as a pot, then presumably he would agree with Tosfos' point. And his raya was, where you don't have a dafka bishul immediately, we don't say, still we don't say one chatichas neseres and asers the other chatichas. Now, read on in Tosfos one more, because here's another comment that brings harkens back to a Tosfos we saw earlier in the year. Go ahead. Why? No. Velo minan she diasa osa habasar nevela. Why? Kevan. Okay. So Tosus, if you think about it, Tosus picks the explicit case in the Mishnah. A tipas challah falls on a piece of basar. How much of the basar does it fall on? Does it bathe the entire thing? No, it falls on one spot. The Mishnah, what is the rule the Mishnah says? How are you Mishayar Bittel Tam of the Chalav? Im Nish Babino Saint Tam? Be'osa Chaticha. But why not say when it falls on that one little spot, first it flavors that spot, and that spot is Nasis Nevela, and then it asers the rest of the meat, especially if you hold Mimimino's Aser? Why not say that? So Tosa says the reason you don't is because Kevan de Sofa Tipa Lispashe Bechala Chaticha. You don't say Hanan. You have to wait for it to finish the natural course, and then you see what it's flavored. Now, so that what Tosa says is fairly logical. It's hard to imagine Rabbeinu Ephraim disagreeing with that. It's not clear to me why Rabbeinu Ephraim thought this was such a good riot. Now, Tosa does say one very interesting thing, however, that his proof is not a disproof. Miu.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm now confused about what Hanan means. Meaning, I thought the whole point of Hanan is that one part of it, you know, it becomes usur, and then the entire chaticha becomes usur, chaticha nasis nevela, and then it's the piece that you have milk throughout the entire piece of meat.
So Tosus' observation, though, is that if you don't, Tosus would say, if you don't say, if you're not going to say, yes, we say chanan, but the question is, when is something no same time? How are you Mishire that? In other words, because every case, the tipa initially falls on one spot. Right? How could that ever spread out? Well, obviously, it's going to spread out as you continue to cook. Well, why don't you say, as soon as it falls on the one spot, it flavors that? So Tosa says, obviously, you can say, otherwise, the whole discussion of Chanan would never get off the ground. The Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Right? You have to say that there's a certain amount of time that they have to cook together. And how much is that time that they have to cook together? Well, that's measured in how much time it takes to flavor that which will flavor naturally if allowed to cook fully. Now, when you have a chaticha that's above the rotev line, and a tipas challah falls on that, so even if you let it cook for 2 hours, the tipa is only going to flavor that one piece of basar. It's not going to get to the piece of basar under it. And therefore, we would say that anything beyond that first chaticha, once it actually does mamish flavor the first chaticha, we would say that chaticha is nasis nevela because that's separable. But if it's just a question of a continuous process which hasn't finished yet, like the chayla falling onto one slice of basar in the pot, in the basket, and if you say it's actually going to diffuse on its own, so then how do you distinguish between the first chaticha, where it only fell on one part of it but it diffuses through that, versus the rest of the chatichas in the pot, where it's just going to continue to diffuse. So Tosus accepts the fact that there has to be sort of a conceptual limit on when you first say chaticha nasas nevela, and that is when the iser stops its initial stage of flavoring. But if in the position it's in right now, it's going to continuously flavor and add because it's spreading throughout, then you don't say chanan until it's finished that first stage. Rabbeinu Ephraim might deny that. He would say, like you're saying, that that's ridiculous. Why should that be? If it flavored one part of the meat, and what would he say about the Mishnah? About tipas chalav shenafal? I mean, it's a good raya, no? Rabbeinu Tam, the raya for a man, it's a good raya. What would you say? But Tosa sounds like he thinks that is what Rabbeinu Ephraim is talking about. But you're not answering my question. Is the raya from tipas chalav shenafla al chaticha, the fact that we don't say the spot that it fell upon becomes usser first, and that's chanan, and then it users the rest of that slice. The Mishnah Kli says not so. The Mishnah says tipas chalav shenafla al chaticha, so in yesh b'mano sein tam bo shechaticha is usser. But if it's not no saint, but if the fact that it's no saint Tom and the one tiny part that it fell upon, that seems not to matter. So how would Rabbeinu Ephraim explain that? It's a good raya, no? I mean, this is a little bit of a question. It's a quantum question, sort of. I mean, that's really what this boils down to. It's
considered one unit.
Correct. Now Tosis is going to be docha the raya against Rabbeinu Ephraim. He said you could be docha based upon a sheet that we saw earlier. It's the next line. You remember that funny sheet of Rabbi Elazar Mimetz that you don't say chaticha nasas nevela unless it's the whole chaticha. Now, I didn't realize this earlier, but I do understand a little bit of what may be driving him in the first place. It could be that this question is driving Rabbi Elazar Mimetz. Is what do you mean? Chaticha nasas nevela applies to even a little piece. Then you're going to have exactly the kasha that Tosis has, the raya that Tosis has. And in fact, why don't you say? He wants to know, why don't you say on the little piece of meat, the part of the meat that it fell on, chanan, and then that spreads and asers. And the answer is, because you don't say chaticha nasas nevela unless it's the entire chaticha.
Which is interesting because you were talking about
Kadei Klipa. But remember, Rabbi Elazar Mimetz said that not the way Tosis is saying it. Tosis is saying a conceptual one chaticha. Tosis is saying that which it will flavor if allowed to continually do its work now without any other intervention. That's called one unit. Rabbi Elazar Mimetz came up with this magical statement that a chaticha, because we sliced it, is called one unit. That we were scratching our heads over. Tosis says it's not a. In effect, Tosfos is adopting Elazar Mimetz's position, which he rejects thoroughly, but not the same way. He's saying, conceptually, there's something called one unit, but a physical piece, you can have half of it be Nasas Nevela. But Tosfos just observes that if you hold like Elazar Mimetz, his raya against Rabbeinu Ephraim, his raya, what he just said is a raya to defend against Rabbeinu Ephraim's proof from Dikula, is not really a raya. There's the fact that Tipas Chalav doesn't aser the little part of the Chaticha that it fell on. Doesn't have to be because the way Tosfos says, because we look at it, how much is it going to diffuse right now? It could just be because there's no such thing as chaticha nasas nevela unless it's a chaticha. Okay. So, but anyway, still I want to know, what would Rabbeinu Ephraim do? What would Rabbeinu Ephraim do with Tosfos' dechia for his proof from the Mishnah of Tipas Chalav Shenafla Basar? Why don't you say, Taka, that first little initial part, that first little initial part is Nasis Nevela and Asers the rest of the Chaticha. Remember, Rabbeinu Ephraim's Raya. His Raya, that you don't say Chanan by Shari Surim, is the fact that the Chaylev does this to the Basar, and then it spreads out, and still we don't say Chanan. In other words, we don't say Chanan despite the fact that the Chaylev initially flavors one piece of meat, and then it spreads out to the rest of the pot. You see, we use the entire pot of meat to be the entire basket of meat to be Mevatel that Chaylev. So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, and that's his raya. You don't say chanan, because if you said chanan, first it would aser the piece of meat that it fell on. It would flavor that, and that meat would aser the next meat, and so on and so forth. So Taka, why is there no raya against him from the Mishnah Tipas Chalav? I think the answer is because Basar B'Chalav is an exception. Why is Basar B'Chalav an exception? Because when a Tipas Chalav first falls on a piece of meat and flavors the initial spot, is that aser or not? Minat Torah. If I take a piece of meat and I pour milk and it flavors initially this one little part, is that aser minat Torah or not? Why not, Abigail?
Because
it's got to cook.
What if the meat's already hot?
The assumption is it has to cook. You know, the some of the acronyms has to cook kemacha ben drusai. So I'll tell you, the Mishnah's case is a case where on the initial impact of the tipa, you don't have bishul d'oraisa yet. When your bishul d'oraisa continues to cook, by that point, it has spread to where it's going to spread, throughout the chaticha. It has diffused by that point. That's how Rabbeinu Ephraim could explain the Mishnah. Yeah?
Then why couldn't you say that by that point it's spread throughout all of
chatichas? No, because remember, there's a barrier there. The assumption, everybody agrees, that when you have that one chaticha sitting on top of a dry chaticha, you could leave it there forever and it's not going to transfer tam.
Then it's not bishul.
Correct.
There's
No, no. Oh. You want? No, no, no. But
yeah,
I
the
think
the milk itself is liquid.
The milk itself is liquid. Yes.
I can't suspicion.
I would, for this, I would say for sure. Now, it's where Tosfos says that maybe Tigun is the Rabbanon, is take a piece of cheese and you put it on meat, so that might only be an Isser Basa B'chalav of the Rabbanon, because that's Tigun, that's not Bishul. But I think if you put the Chalav, drops of Chalav onto the Basa, I think that's called Bishul. And that's, of course, it could very well be Tigun is Asr also in that term, that's not clear. No, you don't need, Tav Nesinas Tam by Chalav, you also don't need heat, but it's not Basa B'chalav. You don't need it if it flavors it. If it flavors it, that's sufficient. And so you want it, you could be docha and probably not. But let me put it this way. You could certainly, I can imagine this. If you put chaylev on a little piece of meat and you start cooking it, it can flavor it immediately, even though the meat is not fully cooked. Right. In other words, you could then remove that chaylev and then cook it till it's finished, and you'll taste the chaylev in it. The chaylev that was absorbed in it. Unless you don't need much of a time lapse if they're both hot. But by the meat, you do need it to cook kamacham and rusai. It's not that I couldn't construct a case where the meat's already cooked and you drop the milk in it and immediately should be asur. Maybe you could construct such a case, but the Mishnah is not a raya to that. The Mishnah could be a case of shenachal achaticha, which is not cooked yet. Possibly. Okay, that's what I think Rabbeinu Ephraim would do with that Mishnah.
Even if it was cooked, the milk wasn't cooked yet.
What's that?
Even if the meat was cooked, the milk wasn't cooked.
Correct. That's true as well. That's true as well.
It doesn't matter.
But bottom line is, even if you think that the Mishnah is that Tosfos reading the Mishnah is correct, now it doesn't disprove Rabbeinu Ephraim's Shita. It just disproves Rabbeinu Ephraim's Raya. Okay, it just means that the case of the Kula, the case of the basket of meat, is not a Raya for Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now, the next step. This is the Mishnah that sets a lot of people off. The Ein Raya. You can. I read the piece of Rabbi Lezer Mimetz. Oh, you want to read it? Mihu, third line from the bottom, sixth word on the line, Mihu.
Mihu, Imash Pirish Lael, Vashem Rao, Rabbi Lotari Metz, the Dohati, Katifa, Inchai, Lomar, Tasan, the Vela,
In Raya Misham. Okay, and as you can't, I can't be Docha Rabbeinu Ephraim and prove him wrong, or prove him not to be compelling from this case, because if you say the way we explained earlier, like Rabbi Lezer Mimetz, fine. Now he says, In Raya. Okay, so interestingly enough, Tosfos claims that you can't bring a raya. What does Ein Hamaduma Medamei Lefi Cheshbon mean? By the way, where is this Mishnah? They say it's in Trumos. Did anybody check? Is it really there? I assume it's there. What's interesting is the Ramban keeps quoting it as from Temura. I don't know. I don't know if it's because he wasn't aware it was a Mishnah in Trumas. What? I'm sorry? No, I see it. I have it in the Maseret Hashas. It is about, but why the Ramban keeps citing it? It's not a Mishnah there. Right? Yeah, it must be cited in the Gemara there. Why does the Ramban keep citing it? He refers to it as the Temura. I don't know if he called it a Mishnah in Temura or no. He just says, I heed the Temura, whatever. It's a very that's just a larger question. To what extent did Rishonim, how well did they study the Mishnayos, Zerayim, and Taurus, and things like that? It's scholars have talking about which Rishonim did know, which Rishonim didn't know. Okay. And all I can say is that Rabbeinu Shimshon knew the Mishnayos, Zerayim, and Taurus. That's a pretty clear assumption, since he wrote an extensive commentary on it, the Rashmi Shads. But the Rishonim, I don't know. It struck me as odd that he quotes it. Okay. So what does the Mishnah say there? Ein hamaduma medamei lefi cheshbon. That means the following. Let's say we have a bag of flour of truma that gets mixed into 9 other bags of flour of chulin. So what's the din? And let's say it gets mixed up. What's the din of this taroves? It's meduma. Why? Because you don't have 100 bags of flour to be mevata. So you now have a mixture of something that, from a scientific, metaphysical perspective, if there is such a thing, is 90% chulin and 10% truma. Okay? Now, halachically, it's all usr. What happens now when, let's say, all these 10 fall into a pile of, by accident, of 100 saw, or 100 whatever bags equivalent, of chulin? So from a scientific metaphysical perspective, how much chulin do you have here and how much truma do you have here? We had 10 and fell into 100. So how much do you have? 109 of chulin and 1 of truma. However, remember that the 1 of truma originally asered 9 of chulin. So, if you say chatich anasis nevela, what should you say? That in order to be mevatel these initial 10, you should require 1,000. If you say ein hamiduma medamea alafi cheshbon, you only actually needed 91 more than the original 10. So you have 100 of chulin, 1 of truma, and that's sufficient. And the Mishnah says ein hamiduma medamea alafi cheshbon, which means that you don't say chatich anasis nevela on the original taroves. That should have been the end of the discussion. For those who learn Yeridei, parenthetically, you may note the fact that they don't give the teretz that it depends whether noda or lo noda was one of the Shach's big rayas against the Ramah, who claimed that you don't say Hanan in the Torah's Chatas. The Ramah wants to say that you don't say Hanan if you don't find out about the two stages of Tarovis in between. Okay, and the Shach said, well, why didn't all the Rishonim who asked this Kasha from Einam Adum and Amicheshon just say, this is the reason why you don't say Hanan is because you didn't find out in between. So that's a raya that it makes no difference whether you knew about the first Taroves or you didn't know about the first Taroves. It makes no difference. Okay. So there's no raya from that anyway. Why? Ooh, fun. What does that mean? Okay. So, of course, Tosis is beautifully ambiguous because he sort of doesn't make clear, you know, this is like saying, you know, I can't lift. How much can you lift? So AJ says, I can't lift 60 pounds. I can lift 30 pounds. Is that helpful? No, because he hasn't told me whether he can lift 45 pounds. So, Ari.
And the problem is that you can't distinguish here between Yavish, Yavish, and Lach, Balach.
So the question, what does Tosis hold by Lach, Balach? But Yavesh be Yavesh, let's talk about three different kinds of Taroves. Okay? There is the, maybe four even. There's Yavesh be Yavesh when items remain discrete entities. Okay? Now, it happens to be, unless it means I have one piece of Nevela that falls into two pieces of Shchuta. Or, I have two pieces of Nevela that get mixed up with one piece of Shchuta. Now, Tosus claims, and this I think everybody seems to be makabel, that even if you do say Hanan, you do not say Hanan by Yavesh B'Yavesh of this variety. Meaning, even though you're not allowed to eat the three pieces, everybody would agree if two more, let's say you have two of Isser and one of Heter, everybody would agree that if two more pieces fall in, that you now have three of Heter, two of Isser, and the rule by Yavesh B'Yavesh, both Midaraisa and Midarabanan, is Chad B'Trei Batil. Chai betrayed at the moment, we'll say, means 51% or more, and therefore you're allowed to eat this tarovis. You don't say that when the two pieces of nevela got mixed together with the one piece of shchuta, that the shchuta was nasis nevela, and therefore now when two more pieces of heter fall in, it's three iser against two heter. No, it's now two iser against three heter, and the heter wins.
Well, you can have me say that it is chanat. There's no transfer of anything.
But you're assuming that chanat. Hanan, at first glance, just means when I have a taroves and a taroves is declared usser, the entire taroves is isser. Just like the Rush said, when one piece of nevela gets mixed into two pieces of shchuta, the isser is nepach lios heter. One might have said that when one piece of shchuta gets mixed into two pieces of nevela, that haheter nepach lios isser. In many ways, that's the way we explained Hanan, is sort of the flip side of that Rush. Right, the Rush by Yavesh B'Yavesh who says that Isser is Nepach Leis Heter, Hanan is the exact opposite. Hanan is that the Heter is Nasas Isser. So Tosas says that you only say when it's Ayideh Blia. Now, Tosas left a big gap in the middle though. What happens if I take wine of Heter and wine of Isser and I mix them together? Would you say Hanan for that according to Tosas? They're not discrete units. It's right. It's not. It's somewhere in between, because you wouldn't exactly say when you take two things. And remember, we're talking about. Well, I mean, we could talk about mimbishen amino also. You mix two wines together. Okay. So I would say, or let me say it better. You mix wine and orange juice together. Now, is that no Saint Tom? If you put enough wine in the orange juice, is that no Saint Tom? Sort of. Does the wine transform the orange juice as much as it's mixed together with it and you taste the wine. Let me give you another case. Let me give you a different case. Flour, a barley flour and wheat flour. Okay, is that no Saint Tom?
They're still independent, but you couldn't separate them.
Correct. And I don't know what the din by lach balach should be. Here's something not to be confused over. When we speak about halachically yavesh, yavesh, and lach balach, what we typically mean is yavesh, yavesh is dry. That is the case. Lach balach is not always wet. Lach balach means something, often it means something that's nivlal, it blends. Flour is dry, but it blends. So that might be referred to as lach balach. But theoretically, there is a difference between mixing flour and mixing two liquids. I don't know if it's true physically, I don't know scientifically if it's true. We perceive that in one case, they're mixed together so well that one has flavored the other, namely the orange juice and the wine, as opposed to the flour, which is mixed together, but if you could somehow separate them, one would have left no lasting impact upon the other. But either, whichever of those two cases, whether you want to split them or not, Tosfos doesn't address those cases. Tosfos doesn't address those cases. I understand. So Tosfos tells you at least that by lach balach, he's thinking in those terms, that that's called tam. But one could have argued, and in fact the Ramah does argue this, because the Ramah says that b'makom hefsen meruba, you're mekel for chanan by lach balach. Now it creates a distinction between nesinas tam versus lach balach, because by lach balach, you just have a mixture of two things together, in fact you can't separate. Whereas there's a perception that sinas tam, which usually happens, the assumption is through heat. The sinas tam creates a transformation. It's not that when I have chazer schmaltz mixed into my meat, it's not that I'm eating chazer schmaltz and meat together, it's that I am now eating chazer schmaltz flavored meat. There's a new thing here, similar to basar b'chalav, when you say that when you have the basar's heter and the chalav's heter, you put it together, you get a new chetza here. So even a case which is not basar b'chalav, but when it's something that's no same tam, that simply flavors something else, not that it's mixed with it, then that might be called a new chefza, different perhaps than lach balach. Tosfos right now doesn't make that assumption. Tosfos says only yavesh b'yavesh sort of stays outside the pale, and I suspect by yavesh b'yavesh right now all he means is discrete units, you know, separate chatichos. You mix them together without a rotev, and you don't want to know which one. That's what Tosfos is talking about. So that's how we answered the meduma question. And this, by the way, is what actually troubles me as well about the lach balach, about the dry things that blend together. When you talk about meduma being medamea lefi cheshbon, how do you envision this flour? Does Tosfos really mean separate bags of flour? Is that what he means? It means I have originally one bag of flour and nine bags of flour. So firstly, is that true al pi din? What's the din? I don't know how we paskin. How do we say that yavesh b'yavesh chad betrays batel? What if I have three sacks of flour? What's the din? I know what the din is. What's the din? Do we say chad betray batel? No, we don't say chad betray batel. How do you know that meduma applies to that case as well? What? No. That's a different question. You could still get a no, but gezel shev you give him one anyway, but. You give Gezel Shevet, you give even when you have 101.
Right.
So I want to know, is it Meduma? Is it all Aser? How do I know that it, in fact, is all Aser, that you need Mea, even when it's discrete units? Because you need Mea Pume Kaden. Remember the case of Litra Kitzios? That's a case of separate barrels in which you press the figs of Truma on top of one barrel, and one of the Tanaim says, I mean, it's machlok is what you count, but either you count barrels or you count separable, you know, fig cakes, which means that even by yavesh b'yavesh mamish by truma, it's not batel b'chai betray, you need mea. So in this case, Tosfos will have to say probably, I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, that maybe you're dealing with separate bags of flour. That's meduma medamei alif yicheshbon. I find that to be, the case doesn't sound like that to me, but whatever. Okay, but now he says we have a different raya for Rabbeinu Ephraim. Lufei Rusho.
Lufei Rusho.
Lo aminon she yayin asol shel heter nasa iser lechashiv ilu yayin yinesach v'yitzarit min hamayim yivatol kol yayin.
All right, so let's explain for a moment here. That's a little bit of a complicated Gemara, one that we'll probably get to later in the year. We do that part of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara there talks about if you have a little bit of Yayin Nesef that falls into Yayin, and then Mayim falls in. Now, assuming that there's a very little bit of Yayin Nesef, how much Yayin Nesef? How much do you want to say? If I have a vat right now of 60 liters of wine, of kasha wine, and Yayin Nesef falls into that, and then Mayim falls in, how much Yayin Nesef fell into the 60 liters? Well, let's say a tenth of a liter. It's batel b'shishim. Except for that, it would be batel b'shishim, except that Yayin Nesef is oser mino b'mashehu. Fine. Now, some water fell in too. So I said, you know, a quarter of a liter. How much water fell in? Let's say 30, we had 30. 15 liters. That would be 60. Okay?
That would no longer be mare yayin?
Well, let's say there's a huge amount of wine in the vat. Let's say there's 1,000 liters. Let's say there's 1,000 liters and 15...
But what would mean a kilo eno?
1 second. And 1/4 liter of yayin nesach falls in at the same time, or before or after, that's a crucial issue, 15 liters of water fall in as well. So what is the din? So... The Gemara sounds like almost everybody would hold, though there's one exception. That let's say there are three different shittos here, okay? One shitta says that it doesn't matter what the sequence is, if you have the 1,000 liters of yayin kasher, 1/4 liter of yayin nesach, 15 liters of water that get mixed together in any sequence, the din is that ronis mino ki'ilu eino, Salek esmino and nimsa eno mina rabalov mvatlo. The 15 liters of water are mvatel, the 1/4 liter of yayin esach, and that now heter gets mixed in with other wine and it's no problem. There are those amoraim who say that the sequence matters. That if the yayin nesach falls into the other yayin first, then the entire vat becomes aser, and even though the water falls in subsequently, it doesn't save you. Why? Because in that case, the mayim can't be viewed as being mevatel the yayin nesach, because the yayin nesach already in effect asered the yayin that was in the bar. And what would you need at that point in order to be mevatel the yayin in the bar? You would need shishim keneged all the wine in the bar. Okay? But if the water fell in first, and then the wine falls in, so then you can say, you can envision as if the yayin nesach fell into the water, we look at the kosher wine and assume it's as if it's not there. Rowan is mino ki'ilu eino. And that would be fine. There is a third sheet in the Gemara, depending on how you read the Gemara, the way Rashi and the Ramban and the Muhammad reads the Gemara there, at least, that says, no, even that's no good. There's only one way for this yayin nesach to be batel. And you know what that is? It has to first fall into the water.
Alone.
And then when it's batel in the water, you pour that into, if that falls into the yayin kasher, it's not a problem. But once the water, even if the water falls in first, and this is really, it's actually very logical, what happens to the water when it falls into the yayin? It becomes batel. And in fact, that's what you normally do with wine. You mosaic it. So now when a little more yayin nesach falls in, why would you say it's falling into the water? But that's what the last sheet holds. Now if that idea that we view the yayin nesach as falling into the water, whether it's before or after, is called roin. There is one sheet in the Gemara that says you don't say roin. Right? That is very much analogous to what in our Gemara? Rava says, what was Rava's expression? Salek esmino kemisha eino v'she'enim in rabba lamavato. The earlier Amorayim there have that concept. This roa, I believe the expression is roin esmino ki'ilu eino v'nimsa eino mina rabba lamavato. Right? The origin of Rava's idea probably develops in that sugya, would be my guess. Okay. So, what do you see? If you say roin, if you say roin, and You say it doesn't matter even if the Yayin Nesach falls in first. What do you see from that? Now, if we say that if the Yayin Nesach falls into the Yayin Kasher, a tiny witty 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 bit, and then water falls in, that it's Batel, what are you saying then? With respect to Chaticha Nasas Nevela, you don't say Chanan, because otherwise, if you said Chanan, the Tipas Yayin would have Asered. Clearly, everybody agrees, before the water falls in, everybody agrees that the Yayin is Asered. Why? Because you add a Koshahu of Yayin Nesach, the flavor that fell into the Yayin in the bar. And that is Asered. And the fact that you say now that the water falls in subsequently that it's mutter, obviously the only thing the water is being mevatel is the Yayin Nesach. It's not being mevatel all the Yayin in the bar, which means you don't say Chanan. Jason?
From the Shita 2 and 3 that you just outlined,
yeah.
Would it matter even if the Yayin Nesach, which was now vatel, still flavored the Yayin Shel Hetzer? Just because
it can't. It's not going to, because it's going to already be batel in the mayim.
It's
already, well, either way, it's batel in the mayim. How is it going to flavor the yayin kasher in the bar?
Are we assuming that it's the same grape?
Yeah.
Because you said wine, you didn't say...
You know, it's the same wine.
Okay.
All right, so now Tosa says, the ikal amanda amar... God, yeah.
Why is this natural? Why can't we just say this is the same machlokas? The machlokas in the Shita is the same machlokas that we have here. At least between the first two Shitas and Avodah Zarah, now one of them is saying we don't say Hanan, and therefore we can be Misal, we can say Roman, and the second Shita says, no, you can't say.
The reason, I think, is because the other two Shitos, they don't argue on the basis of Chanan. They argue that the Gemara says that they're not arguing about Chanan, they're arguing about Rowan. In one case, both are saying, in different cases, that you cannot say that the Yayin only fell into one. Now, the premise of the position that says the water has to fall in first is that once the water falls in first, the Yayin is falling into the water, not into the wine. You don't have to say Chanan to reject that. You just say, that's ridiculous. We don't say Rowan. We don't look at it as if the Yayin Nesach, the Yayin Kasher isn't there, and the Yayin Nesach is only falling into the water. It's ridiculous. It's not only falling into the water. And the other sheet that says, takes it even more extreme, says that unless the Yayin is Mamish Nisbat, the Yayin Nesach is Mamish Nisbat on the Mayim, it's falling into the Yayin. So it's not, it doesn't sound from the Gemara, it's about Chanan.
Or the proportions weren't so extreme, so that you wouldn't necessarily say that the water was Batel to the water.
No, the what? What do you mean? The assumption in the Gemara, I think everybody holds of, is that there's enough water to be mevatel the amount of yayin nesach there is, and we're not concerned about how much real yayin is there. It seems not to be a concern. My presumption is that there's much more real yayin.
Well, let's say there isn't.
It still shouldn't matter.
Let's say there was only.
Let's say it was equal amount. Let's say the amount of wine was half the amount of water. Let's say the amount of wine in the bar was half the amount of water that fell in.
No, but
the point is you don't have to say Chanan to claim it Asr. All you have to say is that the Yayin Nesach is falling into the wine also. Right? And therefore, the wine is Asr. So, Omiya, you get it? Okay. So Tosos pulls that rabbit out of his hat again. He says, you remember what we said at the beginning of this Tosos? Isur Mashu doesn't make nevela. Now, however, as Tosos is about to say, there is a monstrous difference between these two cases. What's the difference, Ari?
The second Chatifa is going to become mother again in this case.
Correct. In other words, in the beginning case of Tosos, the second Chatifa and the Chatichas Heta that was originally flavored with only a Mashahu, wasn't flavored, got a Mashahu, is Asur La'olam. Whereas here, the argument is that the Yayin that was originally Nesar because Ta Mashahu is Chozer Leteris. That's Tosus' next line. He says, even though Afagav Lodami, go ahead.
Afagav Lodami, Dilael, Lom Rinan, Ella, Lenya,
No, is that chatichas heter? The original chatichas heter is aser and remains aser la'olam. But by the yayin, we're saying that all the yayin becomes mutter again. It was originally nesa with the mashu of the yayin nesa. Now that you pour water in, all of a sudden it's choseres le'etero. Ari, you can see.
What's the difference between the answer that we would give for this and the answer we would give for the case of Meduma? In both cases...
No, Meduma, we're arguing that the whole din of Meduma only applies by yavesh, b'yavesh, let's say discrete objects or not. Right? In other words, nobody says Hanan there. Whereas here in principle, you would say Hanan, except for that it's an Isser Mashahu.
Yeah, except the thing about the answer that we gave for Meduma is that the two paradigms we set up were not kind of...
They're comprehensive.
Yeah, I mean, we're not comprehensive.
So,
this is also not a case of...
But that's the point that Abigail said earlier, that Tosus is assuming lach b'lach, like this, is b'chlal, in principle, chatech anasis nevela. There are those who will say one second. There are those who will say that lach balach also is different. You don't say chanan, but Tosus obviously doesn't hold that way. Tosus assumes that it's only, I'm assuming for them, only discrete objects. You know, that you don't say Hanan on. But once they actually are mis'arif together, once they blend together, then you do say Hanan.
We're right, but I'm saying...
You're saying why not give that teretz?
Why not just say it's not necessarily they believe.
So there are those who would give that teretz. I think there are Rishonim who will say that. But Tosus apparently holds not so. And the reason I think for that is because once they're so blended together, that is Nesines Tam. Like, take the orange juice and the wine, right? We do say one is flavoring the other, right? When you have discrete units, we don't say the iser flavors the het there. We just say that really is suffik, not taroves, right? Going back to the rushba and rush thing. Okay, so now Tosus continues. Umikom akom, Abigail. Right before the under the parentheses. It could be that the man damar holds that if the water falls at the end, still it's mutter. It could hold that if shel softo is mutter. So what was the kasha in that case? If you have wine of heter that falls into mayim of iser, it's only usher if the wine is no Saint Tom. Now, what did Tosus envision was happening in the kasha? Drip, 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 drip. The water is dripping in slowly. And when water drips in slowly into wine, what principle do we invoke? Kama, kama, bottle. Drop by drop, it's bottle. So, and in this case, Tosus is saying, well, why don't you say... So we understand that you don't say kama kama batil by heter. Heter is not batil generally in Isser, but why don't you say chanan, which is another way of saying heter is batil in Isser. Why not say the first drop of water that falls in becomes nevela, and therefore when you add another drop of water, that becomes nevela, and on and on and on. And even if eventually you have so much water that there's not enough wine to flavor it, still it should be usser because the earlier water was chanan. So Tosa says that's not a raya. Why? Because efshar... Or Ika Lamemar, what does he say? The Ika Lamemar. Ain Raya, with the Kamar Hasam, Ain Raya Lefe Rusho.
The Ika Lamemar, the Irik, going Shanapon, Shanapon, Pola Heter, Matapa, Shanapatel, Alter, Hester. Abolin Lonapo, Matapa, Rishon, Rishon, Nasa, Isser, Yose, Yayanessa.
Okay. If you didn't understand what Tosus' kasha was, you just need to read his answer, and you realize what his question was. Okay. Now, last point Tosus makes. Okay, so Tosus starts out with a premise, which is undoubtedly correct in some cases. that a pot does not contain the walls of the pot, the volume of the walls, does not contain shishim kenega, the contents of the pot. And if the Torah commands us to be magil klei midyan, how are you going to do hagala on klei midyan? If you can't fit one pot into a pot that's much bigger, which would, where with the water would have shishim kenega, the volume of the smaller pot. So what's going to happen when I do hagala on a pot and I don't have shishim, the water kenega, the contents?
The
water, what is hagala? You boil the water. So what happens when I boil the water inside this big pot?
Water does, right?
The water becomes aser because the blios potentially come out. And now the water's nasis nevela. So even if I, let's say the pot is too big to fit in at once, but instead I submerge it partially and then I do it the other way or something like that into another pot. Each time it's going to become more, it's going to below, come fully below aser from the water. That's nasar. Because if you don't have in one shot shishim levatel the water, everything that you cook with the blios of this pot, which is klei midyan, is going to become aser chatichan asas nevela. So in the fact that presumably, although this is Tosis will challenge, the Torah permits you to be magil all klei midyan, and some of them you're going to have to do a half at a time or something like that. There's always going to be the biggest pot that doesn't fit into anything else, right? So therefore, don't you see that you don't say chanan, and that therefore when you do hagala. Yes, the blios come into the water, and there may not be shishim in the water, but whatever part of the water with blios that's chazar v'nivla in the pot is absorbed proportionally. And therefore, the amount of isser that's going to be get back into the pot when you're done, let's say there's 40 times water kenega the isser in the pot. So let's say you do the half the pot initially. You submerge half the pot. And let's assume that the blios come out, but they go back in because they weren't batel in the water. But still, how are they going to go back into the pot? Proportionally. So now, half of the pot only has 1/40th of its original isser. And now you do the other half of the pot, and at this point, you know, and if you do it twice, you can be mevatel lagamrei. If you think about it, if after you do it the first time, and you get out most of the isser from half the pot, if you then spill the water out, and you put more boiling water, and you dip that pot in again, that half, now you'll have shishim kenega the isser that's going to be niflat. You can do that to both halves of the pot. So now, of course, the Chacham will say, maybe the Torah Torah intended for you to wait till the Kli was in Eino Ben Yomo, and then do the Hagalah, and when it's no St. Tam Lefgam, it's not going to aser the water. So without even reading on in Tosfos, what's the answer to the question? If you didn't see Tosfos yet, I hope you did. I really hope everybody saw Tosfos. It's not clear to me whether people didn't get through Tosfos or people didn't understand some of the things in Tosfos, but... Why can't it be that the Torah intended that you wait till it's an Eino Ben Yomo and then you do the Hagalah on the big pots?
Because
Min HaTorah it's mutter after it's an Eino Ben Yomo. I mean, not everybody holds that way in the Gemara. We assume that way, so we don't want to, in other words, any pot that's not hasn't been used in 24 hours and is clean Min HaTorah, you don't need to kasher. And therefore,
it's surprising, but it's true.
Yes, it's one of those things that correct that it's in the category of surprising but true. That's why it's very hard. On the basis of kalim to treif up food, even someone who's not observant, it's very hard. If you know the food going in is kosher, it's very hard to have food that's usher to eat, okay, unless they mix basher and chalf together in the kitchen. But assuming that it's not the case, but the fact that kalim which need to be kosher, even though l'chatchili and allah to cook in them, do not asher. So obviously, when the Torah was mitzaveh to be magil klei midyan, it wasn't to wait till it was in Eino Ben Yomo. So that what the Tosfos says. Well, the fee should be in a frame by the Nihamasha Tiva Kosov. Go ahead. Semicolon. The way we explain it, the Tom will be mostly Batel. And it'll be proportionally batel in the way I said. If you do it twice, it'll now be muta legamrei. As you do each half twice, then it'll be muta legamrei. But the zayin lomar, this you can't say. Fine. So you can't say the Torah's intent was to wait till it's in Eino Bas Yoma. Then he says. Okay. So it could be maybe the Torah didn't intend for you to be magil all klei midyan. Maybe it was most klei midyan. Or maybe they had the Yamsho Shlomo in the Midbar that they were going to do their kashering in. Right? And therefore the vision was that there was going to be this super communal pot that all the clay midyan could fit into. And you figure, even if they were super common or potted midyan, they probably didn't bring that back with them. Okay?
It would have been hard to schlep it.
What's that? When you plunder in war, you generally, you know, like you don't plunder concrete today. It's not worth it and it's too heavy. You plunder gold and silver, maybe these days copper, if you don't electrocute yourself cutting it out or something like that. But you don't plunder, things that are too heavy to carry. All right. Finally, Tosa says, because of Rabbeinu Yehuda. Okay. Yes. It's not about you. It's just about. Yeah.
Just until we had in Shulchan Aruch, we had a machlok as well. I think we seem to come to a maskana in the Achronim about a kli. We say a kli nasis nevela.
Right.
So clearly, Tosos in his havamin in his havamin of the kasha against Rabbeinu Ephraim.
Yeah.
Is
the raya, not a kasha.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
In the Dechiyah of Rabbeinu Ephraim, he's saying that it could be.
Are you talking about this last part of Tosas?
Rabbeinu Ephraim himself is saying that.
Are you talking about this last part of Tosas?
Yeah.
This has no shaykhs whatsoever to the question of the Kliyat Benasas Tevela. Here Tosas is talking about the Blios. You have enough in the Blios of the Isser that were there to Asr the water, and now all the water can be absorbed in the pot. It's totally not shaykh to whether the Kliyat Benasas Tevela. You're talking about blios from original food plus water in that pot. It's nothing to do with the kli itself.
Blios from the, right, so that water is not sustainable.
Vela, and now you're cooking it in the pot, and the pot's bolea again. So you don't have to talk about the pot itself. You have enough blios to go around.
Oh, so it's just because the water is not sustainable?
Yes.
That's the only
Okay, so we're going to stop here now. I know this has been slow going. That's also a very difficult toast for us. Tomorrow, and I'm going to try to, I'd like to finish tomorrow. Tomorrow, we have to do the Milchamos. You can read the Balamor, but he basically says like Rabbeinu Tam. Basically, if you want a quick review of Rabbeinu Tam's position, it's there. The Milchamos is not simple. There are two parts to it. I would very much appreciate that people walk in prepared. You have a full Seder tomorrow morning. Please use it well. I have to tell you that one of my general comments, and I'll say this every year when we get to the first Milchamos and Balamor, and this is actually of a different nature because it's less of an argument between the two of them. I mean, there is an argument, but it's not the focus of the Ramban, is that the test of whether or not you know how to learn, from my perspective, is whether you can read a Milchamos inside and read every single word. I don't mean to say that you can do that for every Milchamos and Shas, because the Ramban did not write as clearly as other Rishonim did, but that is the challenge. Just to pull out a line and have a nice svara and they say the Ramban holds, that's very nice, but I don't think that's real learning. You have to be able to go through line by line by line. View it as you're engaged in a war, and each line is a line of the enemies that you have to conquer. Some of the lines are easier to break through, some of them are more difficult to break through, but you got to break it down step by step by step. It is very, very difficult. I know two of you have gotten through it, and I think have seemed to have mastered it, so one of the two of you is going to read tomorrow. Hint, hint. But everybody else, you know, if I want to fake you out, maybe I'll ask somebody else to read. Please, please put your energies into getting through this Milchamos, okay? If you're really interested after you've done the Milchamos, you can do the Rashba, particularly at the end where he talks about Rabbi Ephraim's answer, which honestly I don't understand yet, but the Girsa is a little bit mixed up as well, so. Okay.